As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, CL1 Lou.
Everybody's trying to emulate me, but there's only one me.
Damn, that's hard. All right. We have a really simple episode.
Yeah.
Really simple episode. This is probably going to be real short, but knowing us and how loquacious we are.
No.
Oh. It's not going to be short, probably. No. But we both watched.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday during my walk.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so literally at like 10.
YouTuber Colt Caperoon is kind of going through this phase where he's being defensive right now. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't notice
Yeah, he's kind of going through this like defensive thing right now, but I think one of his defensive videos was actually pretty informative, and I think that we should pull out the nuance of it. So we're gonna like take a note from his videos. He talked about how I got my gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did I get it? And in his video, he talked about his story about how he got his gear and how he was able to, because everybody in the comments is basically just making fun of him. It's like, yeah, you trust fund baby or something like that. He was kind of like being defensive. First off, don't feed the trolls. Don't give energy to the trolls.
On Reddit, because then you'd find some pretty interesting responses.
Yeah,
on Reddit.
Troll back. Anyway, remember that there are psychopaths in this world that find enjoyment out of you emotionally react to their poor opinions.
I know you don't watch South Park, but there's actually a series of episodes where exactly that is the case, where one of the dads is the troll, but he does it behind closed doors. Like, oh yeah, honey, I'm working late. But he goes into his office to troll, and he gets off on the reactions.
Yeah, because it's almost like I can see it being like a superiority thing. Like you're watching people being unable to control their emotions and just reacting to whatever you say, and you just feel so superior to them because you're like, I'm manipulating them over words.
9 times out of 10, like anytime you like even go to the people who are writing these things, sometimes they're real people who have just their own opinion, and that's cool. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But most times it's a troll account too, like no followers, no anything, no posts. It's like, dude, don't waste your time with somebody who hides in the shadows.
Yeah. So don't do that. Anyway, that was unrelated. Well, yeah, see, I told you that we're gonna make this episode longer.
So loquacious.
We're gonna do our own thing about how so loquacious. We're gonna do this episode about how Lessons that we learned, like not really our story as much as a guide to how you should think about spending money, how mm-hmm. you should think about building your business, building the assets for your business.
What's worked for us and what we hoped for.
Yeah, what's worked for us, what we wish we didn't do, things that we wish we knew earlier, and practical advice as well.
Yeah.
So, for example, this is something that we're going to start backwards here and then we're going to start from the beginning. I'm huge, huge on living within your means. In fact, living less than your means. Mm-hmm. I am big on you can live in LA, make only $40,000 a year. And if you live very frugally using all your coupons, mm-hmm. not getting and really restraining, making all of your meals, you can still save money.
Yeah.
It could be quite, and once you start doing that, like it's actually not that difficult to do so. But again, for some reason in America, we have this big consumerist culture where they believe that going to Starbucks a couple times a day and I spend like 10 cents on coffee because I make it myself, you know, yeah. for a cup. And it's like versus $5 or $6 twice a day.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Anyway, number one, so that's my thing. So it's like, I don't think, for example, I would even say not even 9 out of 10 times, but 99 out of 100 times, the idea, the concept that poor people pay cash, rich people borrow money. Mm-hmm. That 99 times out of 100 is probably some of the worst advice ever. Now, obviously there are situations, but America has this thing where if you don't, dude, we're just debt ridden, all of us.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. So one of the things that we will never, ever recommend ever, especially in our industry, is to go into debt for gear.
Yeah.
That is the first thing that we're going to talk about. Like, it is never acceptable. Do not ever rationalize it. I condemn you to do it. This is not an industry where you buy the gear and the clients will come. That is not it. People learned about that going into debt for Atmos, and they got an Atmos rig, and then all of a sudden it's like, where's the clients? It's not one of those things.
Yeah.
People, the best time to get Atmos is if you have an overwhelming amount of clients that want Atmos, and you're able to justify it by making money from it.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those things.
Or you have an overwhelming amount of wealth, and you literally have nothing better to do.
Yes. I mean, we're not good. We've talked about, wait, hold on. Wait a second. Hold on.
I'll explain it.
But before you explain that, I was going to say the only exception to this, we've talked about how like getting a CL1B and a 1073 yep. with a Sony AC800G in a commercial studio can help, yep. but still it's not worth getting into debt for.
No.
It's not. Your wages and your clientele is not going to increase so much that was worth buying with debt.
Yep.
But explain yourself. Well, hold on. Hold on. Yeah, go back.
So if you're trying to justify the reason, it's like, oh, Atmos is a thing. We should build a studio that has an Atmos room. Okay. Do we have the clientele for it right now? No. Okay. Do you have a clientele list that is going to be needing it if you could offer it? Yes. Okay, cool. If you can financially afford to take that risk and actually jump in and build your own studio for it, and you're not betting on the clients are immediately going to come, but you can sit on it for 6 months while you develop the clientele because you don't currently have that network, then fine. But the best option usually in those cases is while you're building it out, you better go start finding those clients while it's being built immediately. Go to Atmos Studios and start assisting, making connections with some of the managers and everything, and try taking some of the overloads to your studio. But at that point, that's only if you really have that level of abundance. Outside of that, if you don't have that level of abundance, you shouldn't even consider it unless you have the work already. You shouldn't build a commercial studio unless you already have people who are willing to book from you.
Did you mention tax breaks?
Tax breaks, I didn't think we were going to get to this soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about that, we should. Because that's the thing, like, because you're talking about make the money first and then buy gear.
Yeah.
And the reason why that's really practical
is because you don't go into debt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, not just the debt thing, the practical part of not going into debt, but also depending on how you categorize. Again, we are not financial advisors. I have to preface that this is not financial advice. You should talk to your accountants. You should talk to anybody that helps with, what are they called?
A CPA.
You should talk to your CPA. You should figure out how you categorize. First off, you should register as a business in your state. Unless you live in California, then register it in your aunt's state, your uncle's state, or your parent's state if they live out of state, anywhere else other than California. Talk to your CPA, but most of the time, gear is a normal and regular business necessity. Can count under normal and business, normal and regular business operating necessities, and can be considered a tax break. So you can actually, and the reason why in America, the reason why that's so important is because if you make profit, you will get taxed on that profit. So the less profit that you show at the end of the year, the less you're going to get taxed.
Yeah.
So it's either going to go, basically, in other words, it's either going to go to an LA2A or to Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
And I think we all agree that going to an LA2A is better.
Is better. Yeah.
So that is really, really super practical. Again, not financial advice. Double-checking
CPA.
Everybody.
If anything, if you tell them your estimated earnings even before the end of the tax year, they can usually give you some advice as hard as structure and how much to put aside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is really, really important. Sorry, I'm just looking at the Twitch comments right now, which nobody else is going to see. I'm going to keep, I'm not, that laugh won't make any sense to anybody.
It'll make sense to me.
Yeah, it'll make sense to us. And I also choose LA2A. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that's super practical. It's that simple. I think that's like the thesis and the point of the entire thing is that when, I don't know about you, I spent a now in retrospect, if with the knowledge that I have now, I would be extremely anxious and uncomfortable with the amount of money, the percentage of my income that I was spending on gear as a younger kid.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would never do that now as a 30-year-old.
I think the only reason I can justify it for myself is because I did a lot of flipping. Like, I actually paid my rent flipping gear.
Yeah, see, that. Yeah,
so that was the only reason that I could justify. Outside of that, the amount of gear I bought and sold, if it was strictly out of hobby and not for, like, actual being able to pay my rent doing it, not worth it. This, except for the, I like the way Colin has used his own case as an example, where he's like, if I hadn't bought all the gear I didn't like, I wouldn't know why I didn't like it. You know, I understand that, but buying the gear just to buy gear because you think you're going to find more clients, it's never the case.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time with that.
Also, I one of the things that I did, and I think more people should do, and we haven't talked about this in a while, but this is a quote from Brian Hood when he was doing Six Figure Home Studio with Chris Graham. They said, a trip to IKEA will bring you more clients than a trip to Sweetwater.
It's absolutely
or
true.
Or just a trip to Guitar Center. They say.
It's absolutely true.
So focusing on the aesthetics. If you can get, whether it's at home, an office and home, or whether you are renting out a proper office, which is debatable in its own sense as well. The aesthetics, looking like you know what you're doing, will help you gain more trust than anything else. Like, the gear is a very small way of making it look like you know what you're doing, but if you have the lighting right, if you have acoustic panels, if you got nice, like, carpets and rugs or whatever it is, nice, I don't know about wallpaper, but, like, if you look really clean, if you clean up your desk, if you clean up your room, if you decorate and give it a vibe, that's going to get you more clients than having an LA2A. That's just how it goes. Better ROI, significantly.
Significantly. Yeah, and that's kind of like when you see a lot of people, like, building their studios, they never make a request of, like, I just need a few panels. You know, they usually, like, I want the neon lights. I want to have, like, my desk over here, and I wanted to have, like, these stands for my speakers. It's a lot of, like, aesthetic choices because they want to feel a certain vibe in the room.
Or like another one that's very specific. I like to record completely butt-ass naked, so we need to have curtains.
Oh, my God, yes, that happened to me, and it was amazingly hilarious and confusing at the same time. I did not know what to do.
There you go. By the way, that client was me.
And there was no curtains. And the lights were on.
Just shaking my ass at Lou.
And
as
the
I want
mic
him.
Wasn't even in the booth. Yeah, if you ever seen Psyche K with the guy that can see ghosts? Yeah, he's like, oh, there's a ghost over here. He's just drinking water. There's a ghost over here shaking his butt in your face. And there's a ghost over here. Hold on. What is the guy next to my face? That's what it was like.
Yeah, yeah, dude. There's a... Anyway.
There was some wiggle room, we'll just say.
Sorry. Tangent. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Healthy ways of... Shut the...
It was a real raw recording.
Stop. Okay. We're going to continue to talk about how you should be considering spending your money.
Mm-hmm. Part of it, like, comes down to the idea of, like, you know... Everybody earns their money in a different way. Everybody can pay for different things at a certain, I guess, price point in payments or in cash, things like that. There's a bunch of different, like, I guess, options out there, including, like, one of my favorite options is Zounds. We're not sponsored by them, but I've used them definitely a lot. For instance, sometimes you need a piece of gear for a project. That makes sense. And if the project is worth a certain amount of money to you, then it could actually make sense buying it. A good example is we had like a big name artist come in with like a live band. We had to track the live recordings for concerts that they were planning. And the production company was willing to pay me enough to where it actually made sense. They're like, well, we need a bass amp to rent. I'm like, okay. I went and bought a bass amp and I rented it to them. And the nice thing is I was able to return the bass amp. So sometimes, yeah, there's going to be expenses where you might have to incur something. Maybe you go to a rental company, rent it. In my case, it was actually pretty easy to actually like return it, which was nice.
I did that for NAMM a couple of years ago. I rented like a handheld recorder and I used it for the weekend and I returned it.
Yeah.
You know, so like, handheld recorder.
I'm not saying like the cheat code is buy and return.
Yeah, that's actually, you can get
into a lot of trouble with that. You can get banned from a company for that.
Yeah, actually,
Best Buy is pretty famous for doing that. Point is this, like, I understand that sometimes you need the gear, which, funny enough, in the referenced, example, Colt, he did make the communication that a lot of times the money invested was for, you know, what can help me make more money, but it was more practical things like, okay, I'm going to start running shows. I'm going to do front of house. Oh, I need a couple more 57s for guitars. Cool. But it wasn't, I need a line array system for guitars. It wasn't like exponential things that would have like put you into extreme debt. And he even says, I would not recommend it. And it was because of the help that I got. A similar way to get a similar sense of help is Zounds. They have, there, I think it's like 3 months, no credit check payment thing, kind of like Sweetwater. But what's not openly communicated is as long as you do the first two purchases and make all the payments on time and you keep it like that, they will actually make it 12 months, no credit check, instant approval.
They have like in-house credit scores.
Exactly. Like if you start faulting on your payment, they won't give you that option back. They'll have you wait the next couple purchases.
Again, that's not something that we recommend at all.
Yeah, but
at
if it's...
all. If you can't pay... It says, in the words of... Who was it? Was it 50 Cent? No. Who was it? I don't remember. But there's a rapper,
if you can't
Jay-Z.
Buy it 10, if you can't buy it 10 times over...
No. If you can't buy it twice, you can't afford it. If you can't buy two,
I know
you can't
Akon said if he can't buy it 10 times.
Yeah.
But then again, their number of wealth is pretty impressive either way. But the way I look at it is like if you had $600 right now and you could afford to pay for it, but let's say it would take 2 more months worth of waiting, but the project is now and you have an opportunity to make $900 from the project. Maybe taking on $100 a month for 8 months isn't the worst option because you can at least pay down a chunk of it and just go down to 20, 30 bucks,
whatever. What if that session gets canceled last minute? What if that project gets canceled last minute?
No, I get it.
That happens all the time.
I totally get it, yeah.
Literally happens all the time. You buy a house, you think you're going to rent it out. Turns out the first guy that you rented to is a squatter and now you're just fucked. You get a car to put it on Turo. The person, it's insured, but the third driver crashes the car and all of a sudden you can't make income and you have to keep making the car payments.
Yep.
It's not worth it.
Somebody's not getting gap insurance?
No. Well, I mean, it expires after a certain point. I don't exactly know. But the point is...
Because third driver on Toro, that's pretty early.
The point is that nothing is 100%. Nothing is for certain. And
you got to make sure
that you cannot... If you cannot afford to make the payments, if someone squats or someone's unable to pay rent, then... Yep. You should not go into debt to buy that condo, house, apartment, or whatever it is. Like, yeah, that's
don't
just
go into
that,
the studio
that
without the client.
So, I mean, this is something that Dave Ramsey talks about a lot as well. Like, people don't assume that everybody's going to pay rent every month.
Yeah.
Like, don't. And he's like, anybody that has experience with real estate knows not to consider that. Like, be aware that you have to have savings just in case shit hits the fan, or you have to be able to afford being able to pay it yourself if you need to.
Yeah.
Anyway, things of that nature.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay. Let's go back to the topic of how you do this. Mm-hmm. Another thing as well is that I don't think you should be ashamed for having a day job.
Nope.
I think the pros to having a day job is that there's less financial stress. You can continue to build your clientele with the people that you want to work with.
And
you're not
have
forced.
Fun with it.
You can keep it fun, easier to keep it fun, rather than forcing yourself to work with clients you don't like.
Yeah.
Again, the stress, I think the lack of stress. And I think there's something to be said. If you do a job that you don't necessarily love, it forces you to want to do what you actually like, which is actually a really great motivator, you know? So, I think there's also not many people, but there's a few people out there that are like really prideful, or they're like really undisciplined and they just don't want to. They say under the guise of I'm unable to, they say I'm unable to, but really they just don't want to work for somebody else.
So
for a time,
some of the
just
people that I
money.
Enjoy working with the most actually work regular day jobs.
Yeah.
And like it's music is not their side thing. It's still their goal, their priority, their this and that. Their side job is just a means to an end. But they, the one thing they've always communicated is like, you still have to like it, you know, make it music adjacent if you have to.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
So,
like, you know how many people like Guitar Center, Westlake, Vintage King, PSA?
Those are good jobs, too.
Yeah. Like, they all still work in music, and a lot of them, like, some of them are, like, platinum, gold record. Some of them are Grammy-nominated, Grammy-winning. I remember my supervisor at Sam Ash, when I first started working there when I was, like, 21, he was Grammy-winning, like, twice over. And he was like, oh, I mainly work here because, like, it's easy money. It's on the side. It helps me pay my bills. But I also get discounts on all the gear, so it's easier to buy gear.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit, that's a lot of benefits.
I think you should prioritize happiness and balance more than forcing music to be your income.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily like mutually exclusive, like you're either happy, but I also don't think that it's like it goes together all the time too. Like I think there's a lot of people that find that they finally are able to make a reliable income from music, but they're fucking miserable. And I think it's how you get there, the expectations that you set, et cetera. So there's a lot of nuance to that. We won't go into it. So I like working with people like it's really interesting. The older that I get and Oh, do I even want to say this? I kind of don't want to say this. People won't really talk about this, but this is something that I've noticed. Mm. As I start to make more money, mm-hmm. it's not as fun hanging out with people that always talk about money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning, and you know who always talks about money? The people that don't have it.
Yes.
It's not like you'll notice if you ever talk to someone rich and you start talking to them about money, they don't really like talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because they're shame. It's because everybody that gets it knows that it's not about money.
Yeah.
Like, not everything is about money, but until you have money, you don't realize that.
Yeah.
So if you grew up in a wealthy family, you know that it's not about money.
Yeah.
And then if you grew up in a poor family, like, you really believe that it's like, it's all about money. And it's like, until you break the cycle and you finally make some money, it's really hard to realize that. It's kind of like trying to prepare someone to be a parent.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way you can like give all the advice, but it's like every child is different. Every situation is different. It's like, you got it. There's no way to prepare you. Or like training for a marathon. No matter what you do, the first marathon is going to fucking suck. No matter how much you train for that shit, it's just going to suck. You know, like whatever. Anyway, sorry, that was unrelated. That is something that is kind of like unspoken that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody at the top is talking about how they're greedy, how they're making money, or it's like how it's.
I think the people that are asking the most questions are usually aspiring to get to that point, but they haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
They're just unaware of it yet.
So what is the lesson that we're trying to take out of that? Like, realize, I think the most important thing is like, realize that in this moment right now, especially when you're young in your like teens or your 20s and stuff, like it seems like it's going to feel like forever. Like you're just committed to poverty for the rest of your life. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be.
Like, think about, we've brought this up before, but I see it all the time. We see people all the time that assume that success also means that you have a ton of gear and you have a really nice studio. And how do people afford that? You know, some people go into debt. Some people work with people who just have an abundance of gear and that just ends up at their studio. Some people have an abundance of money, but not actual practicality or clientele. And they just go out and buying it, assuming that it's going to pan out and all that kind of stuff. Seeing a bunch of money and seeing a bunch of gear doesn't always mean success all the time. We know a lot of trust fund babies who just have gear and that's fine. We know people who have worked really hard and bought gear and that's fine, but they still don't even know what they're doing with it. I think a lot of times when you see people like, you know, for instance, like we can look at this desk here and say, okay, well, where did DK get it? Did he get sponsored or and all that? Is that the podcast? Is like, no, I'd say only one piece of gear could only ever be considered that. You know what I mean? You could look at my entire studio and I think maybe some headphones could be considered that. Everything is just hard work. And people who work really hard know that it's like, dude, it's a lot to get this. So yes, I have it. And yeah, it's cool and it's shiny, but it actually is a lot more than just a cool and shiny piece. That was hours of my time. That was hours of work, trust that we had to build and everything. That's what paid for it. It wasn't the money that paid for it. It's the hard work that paid for it. It was the relationships I built that paid for it.
All right, James Clear.
Fuck you.
Yeah, dude. It's about the habits, dude. It's about changing your personal identity.
Yeah, so that's at least that's what I was hearing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. Yeah. I think it's a really good point.
I have my moments.
These, you have a lot of moments, Lou.
Yeah, they're not many, but you know.
No, I literally just said you had a lot.
That was one of those.
No, I think you're right. Like for me, this is in a really weird way. Like you should consider gear I think you should look at gear as trophies that you get from having a great financially successful year.
That's how I look at my office.
To use as tax breaks.
That's why I like the aesthetic part where they're like, oh yeah, you can make more money from aesthetics. You could also feel a lot more pride in aesthetics. You know, when you walk into a badass room and you're just like, fuck yeah, that's mine. You look at your wife and you're like, fuck yeah, she's mine.
Yeah.
You know, it's pride, you know, and that's why it's like, you ever hear, so I'm going to associate it to this, but it's because I feel like it ties in just a weird way. You ever hear about like guys that are like, oh yeah, I sleep with a different girl every week.
I don't hang out with anybody like that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
I don't know anybody that
I hear it all the time from like people that I like know and stuff, just cause I guess I hang out with a lot of dogs. They got the dog in them. Woof. You know, so but
I'm not judging you for it. I made it sound judgmental.
No. But nonetheless, the idea behind it is this, like I always hear about that, and then I hear the complaint, but none of them are like solid, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you got to invest in relationships, and you got to invest in the right types of relationships and everything. So whenever I look at my wife, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm proud that I'm married and shit. I'm proud I don't have to deal with all this other extracurricular shit, because that means I invested properly.
That's right.
You know,
right.
So when you look at your studio and you don't feel that way, maybe you're just buying gear and you're like, why doesn't it pan out? How come I have all this gear and it's not panning out? Now I'm in debt. Now I'm this. It's like you invested in the wrong thing. It wasn't investing in gear that got you the gear.
Yeah. I want to briefly change topics real quick to talk about ways of earning money that I think is like healthy and can get you to different things. Like you talked about doing sales like Guitar Center, Sweetwater, some sort of like music retail. The reason why that's great is, especially as a beginner, you to sell the items, they train you. Like if you work at Guitar Center, there's a whole training thing where you watch videos to learn about
The gear.
All the different types of the gear. So it's a really great for learning what the gear does. Yeah. I think that was really great for the learning aspect at the beginning of my career, because I used to do Guitar Center before I went full time as well. There's also someone in the comments on YouTube is saying like, would you guys recommend music students to work for other engineers or studios as a runner or assistant? I think that's actually really great as well. Potentially, I mean, every path is different, but I think that's like, I think it's okay. There are music based jobs to help you get to where you are. So I think having a music based job can be, actually, I think it's a really great introduction, because then it forces you to think about whether or not you actually want to do this.
Yeah.
Especially if you can get in early and you find out, holy cow, working at a studio is hectic, too crazy for me. I don't like it. That's better to find out early.
Yeah. To be honest, we've had people who have interned for us who, after like running their first session, they're like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
I thought I did, but I don't.
Yeah. So I think in general, like if you're a student or younger, or you don't want to do school or something like that, having a stable day job is very normal. I think being able to keep up with your bills. I think building the self-discipline to be able to stay out of debt, to building the self-discipline to not spend outrageous amounts of money, to be able to focus on what's important, that self-discipline is going to help you build your career more than anything that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
By like more than 10 to 100 fold.
Yeah. Like,
there's not a single person that I know of that is successful as in the music industry. Like, I'm generalizing it because I'm being dead serious right now. Like, I can't think of maybe one or two people that like, I can't think of anybody that's like really successful in the music industry that doesn't have an insane amount of self-control.
Yeah. Honestly, in anything. Let's just be honest, in anything.
And sometimes it comes from like a really unhealthy place where they're like, you know, their parents beat them, so they're like really insecure, and like that's why they're always
can't
like
fail.
That's why they're like too hard on themselves. But like, regardless of where it comes from, sorry, that was really dark. I apologize. But regardless of where it comes from, I think that self discipline of being able to hold down a job, being able to communicate clearly, being able to reply to people, being able to
it's set all in the personality.
I think that's super important.
One of the general managers, it's funny, I tie back to Sam Ash again. But one of the general managers at Sam Ash, Dan DeHate, he told me something once that like
Dan DeHate?
Dan DeHate.
Dude, D-E dare to hate. Hate.
Dare to hate. Dare to hate Dan DeHate. No, but he was honestly like probably one of the best managers I've ever worked with to this day. Like
what made
like,
him a good manager?
Well, this quote will be a fun one. He's like, you know, I can train you on any piece of technology. It doesn't really matter what it is and what question I ever ask you, but I can't train you on your personality. I only hire people that I actually believe in their personality. I could give a shit if you don't know anything. I can teach you.
Yeah, that's true.
Your personality is what makes you succeed. It's not the gear or how much you know about the gear. It's not how many manuals you read. It's how many people you actually effectively help along the way.
And if that's true for a low tier retail floor salesman job, then how much more true is it when you are your own fucking company?
Yeah. Imagine you're the one that has to be accountable for yourself. It's easy to say, well, I don't care. Who am I going to yell at? Myself? It's like, listen, when I first started recording, I showed up in every session with fresh press shirts, fresh everything, cologne and all that kind of stuff, because I wanted to set the right example. I wanted to shake the right hands and make sure that everybody was on the same page as each other in the idea that I'm taking this seriously. when I became a sales manager, and I had to actually train the new guys coming in and actually make sure that sales were actually hitting their marks. And so, one, I actually made less money if they didn't hit their mark. So I was already bothered if they didn't hit their mark, you know?
That's one way to put pressure on.
Yeah. But I always had an issue with those that didn't have the personality. And it wasn't that the issue is that, oh, they're too young or this and that. It's like, no, this personality is easily adopted into your life in an early stage of life, especially like in your teen years and this and that. But when you're a growing adult, let's say you're 21, you still have a chance to mold your personality. By the time you hit 30, it's significantly harder to break molds. It's harder to lose weight, you know? But the idea here is that if you're just starting and you're wondering how soon can I get it, forget about how soon on a financial level, worry about how soon on a relationship level. If you build the right relationships, you would be surprised how fast you can go from 15 an hour to 50 an hour. It could literally be your next job. But the only way you get to that job is building trust and, you know, honestly nourishing the relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you buy gear. You don't buy it with credit. You don't buy it with the cash that was supposed to go to rent. And you don't buy it because you think it's going to make you more money immediately if somebody sees you with it. Because I hate to fucking tell you, if you're in LA, everybody has it, including their grandmother.
Yeah. And as far as like the order of which gear to buy, I think people want to know what's the most important thing. Yeah. We're monitor snobs. But I would say in general, you should expand on your abilities rather than to get a better version of the thing you already have. Yeah. For example, if you don't already have acoustic treatment, you should probably get acoustic treatment. If you don't have headphones, you should probably get headphones. If you don't have a sturdy mic stand, you should probably get a sturdy mic stand.
Especially if you're planning on buying a heavy mic.
Yeah, you should probably buy things for their function and the practicality of it. For example, like having a fucking nice Verimu compressor is awesome, but I would never recommend that. Like, that's not something that I would recommend before acoustic treatment, before nice monitors.
If you don't understand compression, but you understand you really want this compressor, there's a backwards order in that.
What? There's a backwards order in that?
Yeah. If you don't understand how compression works, but you really want a TubeSec CL1B, it's like, why do you want it? You don't even know how to use it.
Yeah. So as far as like practical advice on order of gear, just try to expand like the offerings that you do have. Like if you have clients that want to come in, like again, it might be a lamp. It might be like lamps. It might be a curtain.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a nicer mic stand.
And you'd be surprised how many people are in the box. I'm just saying.
Yeah. The number one mixer in the world, Serban Ginea, is notoriously completely in the box. In the box.
What's his name? Mike Tucci. Very popular mastering engineer right now.
He's getting in the
hip-hop realm. Yeah, in the hip-hop realm. Completely in the box. In fact, anytime I see photos of his space, I always get inspired to downsize.
Yeah.
Because it's just a couple of acoustic panels on gobos, one like behind the monitors, like a cloud. And it looks like it's like maybe an extra area in his space or something like that. But he's still extremely effective. And if nothing else, it's a great sign of proof that, no, you do not need the Verimu or Fairchild or whatever you think you need to be successful. It's not that. He's successful because of his relationships.
Yeah. And he's good at what he does. His
yeah, ear. More than anything that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then anyway, so I don't know. I don't think there's much more to go on this topic, on this episode.
Yeah.
We could keep ranting about it. But to be clear, like, it's just super important not to go into debt for anything. It's super important to we're not telling you to save money necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I think gear is not the goal you should have. Having a rack full of compressors and EQs, hardware compressors and EQs, is not what's going to make you happy.
Nope.
Having balance in your life and being able to pay rent without worrying is going to make you happy.
Yeah.
And that is not necessarily correlated. Having gear in your racks and being able to pay rent and live stress-free, that is not necessarily correlated. So that's something that's really important. People don't talk about it. Again, this podcast is entirely directed. The purpose of this podcast is to help give people practical advice and talk about the nuances for people that want to make money and make a living off of being an engineer, yeah, not just engineering. So this is something that if you are a hobbyist and a purebred hobbyist, like you know in your heart that you don't want to necessarily make money off of this, then the conversation entirely changes. I think that is, you know, it's okay to put money into your hobbies as long as you don't go into debt for it.
Yeah.
Do things because you want. And I think that through hard work, through self-discipline, through responsibility, you will be able to earn the things that you want, which kind of goes back to one of the previous episodes where we talked about keeping things interesting, gamifying everything, yeah, being curious, you know, and working with constraints. Like part of the reason why hardware is fun is because it's slower and it's a big, yeah, constraint, you know. And anyway, I think we're just like riffing now. There's not, yeah, much meat left in this topic.
Is there potatoes?
Yeah, sure. We're just on the string beans right now.
Oh no, it's just a plate full of gravy.
It's just MSG. All right. Anyway, we appreciate y'all coming in, hanging out with us. If you like this podcast, then the freest way to help us grow and to share this message with everybody is by rating the podcast 5 stars on your preferred platform.
That's 5 stars is more better for us.
It's the freest way and it's more better for us. So on that note, and if you want more episodes that are specifically about the technical aspects of mixing, how to use a compressor, how to use widening tools, et cetera, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive for exclusive content where we do 20-minute bite-sized episodes about the nuance of technical tips that we pull from other engineers. Really great, really awesome. James does a good job with that stuff. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.